Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you may be in the global tribe. We have disruptors everywhere disrupting their automatics, their ways of being, their ways of thinking, their ways of doing. This is Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption, disrupting your automatics. Today's show is Win-Win. We are live every Sunday on WHCR, WHCR.org. 90.3 FM in New York, the voice of Harlem. You're also catching me live on my Facebook page. And happy Sunday and happy start to this week. Again, you're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. I am Coach Nick, author, speaker, facilitator around transformational and leadership topics, and a committed disruptor. Why we're here? To awaken humanity so everyone gets to leave their mark. I deliver transformation and disruption in the areas of leadership development, corporate culture, corporate engagement, team dynamics, and personal development. The Dudes of Disruption also run a men's group here on the island of Manhattan. Today's show is Win-Win. And the definition, the Webster's definition for win-win is advantageous or satisfactory to all parties involved. So win-win, which is a disruption, that there has to be a winner and a loser. How do we redefine winning today? So today we start with opening thoughts here in the first segment. In the second segment, we have our say what when we introduce an article related to our story. Again, this week it's win-win. In the third segment, we have ask a dudette. And we have Coach Kerry Canova-Turner calling again. She's a fan favorite. And in the fourth segment, we have parting shots. Before we jump into it, I want to introduce my in-studio guest. We have him back again. Again, another fan favorite of the show, Jake Fishbein.
Hey, Nick. Thanks for having me again.
Hi, Jake. Jake, give us one line about who you be and some exciting news from this week.
Oh, yes. I am a writer and an entrepreneur, and this week we officially launched Experience Vinyl, which is a monthly vinyl subscription service curated by famous artists. And our month one artist is going to be Elton John.
Wow, awesome. Congratulations,
Thank
Jake.
You,
Welcome
Nick.
To the show, and looking forward to jumping into one of our favorite topics, win-win. So we begin every show with Nick's riff.
I know that, dude.
All right, we start Nick's riff with a quote, and the quote comes from a mentor of mine. That mentor is Tom Zapolsky, and the quote is to start the show, love the relationship more than yourself. Love the relationship more than yourself. Talk about a disruption, right?
Oh, yeah.
So what that means to me is that when you hitch your wagon to something much bigger than yourself, when you hitch your wagon to something bigger than yourself, something really, really large, that while you take care of that very, very, very large goal, or loving the relationship more than you, you're actually included inside of it. So when the relationship wins, you also win. Let me say that again, Jake. When the relationship wins, when the bigger game is won, guess who's also included in that game? You and me, which is really the ultimate context for win-win, right? You win at the bigger game, and at the same time, you get taken care of inside of it. Look, America is all about winning. We're obsessed with winning at everything. And often, the winning comes with a large cost, including creating separation, you feeling separated, you feeling alone, even creates polarization. Just look around our country right now, right? Look at you know, politically, right? This polarization often translates in politics, like I just said, sports, to the corporate world. I mean, often everyday language, right, the water cooler language, is consumed with this locker room vocabulary and battlefield vocabulary of winning and losing. I gotta win, I gotta beat the other guy, I gotta crush the other guy. And this obsession to winning at all costs turns the conversation into dominating the opposition, destroying the competitor, and even extinguishing an opponent. Today's show, for those watching and listening, hi Tammy, one of our longtime fan favorites, she says, hello Nick. Today, Tammy and the rest of the disruptors watching and listening, we're exploring how we can define winning in new ways. The show is intended to disrupt the current paradigm of winner and loser and offer a new way to relate to winning, where winning has people actually come together in a new way to create breakthroughs in all the important places like the environment, business, politics, economy, race, economic equality, food reform, education reform. The show takes on how even in situations where there may be one winner, on the surface that is, that somehow that winner is still able to galvanize and rally people together and forward them into a direction of innovation and new ground. So Jake, I want to share with you one of my favorite stories.
Okay, go for it, Nick.
And it definitely will expose my age. So be gentle with me, okay?
Well, I won't expose mine either. I know it's the butt of a few jokes.
This story that I'm about to share, which is about the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team that won gold medal, is a really great example of win-win. And we'll share other examples throughout the show. So the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team, men's hockey team, won the gold medal. Okay, so I'm going to, no suspense there. Now, back in 1980, it was college kids that played for us, 21, 22-year-olds. And these were kids who, by the way, just little background, right? So the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey men's team won the gold. The background was these were kids who competed fiercely against each other and hated each other. They were coming from different colleges and different universities. And they had, for 3-4 years, despised each other. And by the way, they were about to despise each other again, okay? Because they were going to compete for NHL jobs, okay? Now, they're competing against teams like the Russians, who were together for 10, 12 years. They had won multiple gold medals. They were men versus boys, if you will. Now, and what was also happening in the background was that the U.S. had hit some hard times. The Iran-U.S. hostage situation had been taking place for almost 2 years. The Vietnam War had just ended. The country was not feeling all that great about itself, right? And what happened is when there's a movie that came out called Miracle on Ice. And what started to happen is, the players were like, yeah, I'm here, just to play, right? And at the end of every practice, the coach would say, and you see it in the movie Miracle on Ice, the coach would say, hey, what team do you play on? And each player would say, I play for the University of Boston, I play for the University of Minnesota, I play for a University of Chicago, right? And they were an inconsistent team, not all that good, right? And what started to happen is this inconsistency. And it wasn't until one of the players who became the team captain said, I play for Team USA. I play for the United States of America. And in that moment, everything and anything and all changed. Because in that moment, what he got and what he was able to galvanize and rally the rest of the team is they were not just playing for themselves. They were not even just playing for a gold medal. What they got was they were playing for national pride. What they got was they were actually playing to save a nation's soul. They were playing to save a nation's pride. That was the game that they got that they were connected to. And that's why, as Al Michaels said, with 10 seconds left, do you believe in miracles? They were able to win the gold medal against a team that was physically better, a team that had won multiple gold medals, a team, the Russians, who had played with each other for many, many, many years. Because they got that they were connected to something much, much bigger than themselves. And in that moment, by playing a bigger game called I'm playing for saving my country, they also got the gold medal. They also got the accolades. They also got someone like me talking about them 35 years later. Why they made movies about them. Why some of them did end up going into the NHL. The coach went into the NHL. That's what I'm talking about. That's what's available when you play win-win. So, Jake, let me ask you.
Go for it, Nick.
What's possible when you play a game of win-win from your perspective?
The biggest things is we get to set aside our differences and really see what we're trying to build for. So, as is everything today, if we look at politics, we look at the United States of America, in my experience and my perspective, we're not all connected to what we're playing for. We're not all playing for Team USA.
Right.
And what's possible if we get that we're playing for Team USA in the current political climate is we actually get to choose to make decisions that work for Team USA, not work for Team Liberal or Team Conservative, but work for Team USA. And I think what's possible then is, you know, we actually get to win. A win-lose really isn't a winning situation. It just resets. Win-win, we can continue winning perpetually.
And what's needed from a leader or a group of leaders, either in politics or in business or even in your family? What's needed in order to play a game of win-win? What's needed in order to disrupt this win-lose obsession that we have?
I think two things. The first one is vulnerability. Wrong. And my answer is what's good for the country, and your answer is what's bad for the country. And it's simply not true.
Right.
And so being vulnerable enough to say, you know, I don't know what the right answer is.
Right.
I have my thoughts. You have your thoughts. What if we work together to figure out what's going to drive the best results for our country, not the best results for my own individual perspective? It's about being open and willing to say it's not about me. It's about something much bigger. And I think that takes a lot of vulnerability to do.
I love that. And again, we opened the show with the quote, love the relationship more than yourself, because that when the relationship is taken care of, like in the example of the U.S. Olympic team, when you play for national pride to save your nation in that moment in time in 19... 19-
and I think that there just isn't a lot of win-win and a lot of flexibility in saying, I'm not playing for Team GOP or Team DNC, I'm playing for Team USA.
Yes.
And until we really make that distinction and say it's not about me, it's not about our perspective, it's about us, it's about we.
Right.
There won't be win-win in our society, and we're going to continue this, I was going to say disruption, we're going to continue this division in our country until we can really get that we need to play a win-win game.
Yeah, and I love that you said that win-win is a context or a mindset or a way of being or a way of living, right? It's versus a context called win-lose.
Yeah.
Because win-lose is creating separation and aloneness. And you go to your corner, I go to my corner, where we don't listen, where we don't cooperate, where we don't collaborate. Win-win creates something completely different. So the question for you folks out there, the disruptors out there watching and listening as we go to break, where in your life are you playing a game of win-lose? I win, you lose, they win, I lose. Or a game of... You're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption, Disrupting Your Automatics. Special guest in studio, we have Jake Fishbein.
Hey, guys.
We have Kerry Canova-Turner calling in. This week, we're talking about win-win, redefining what winning actually means. Online shout-outs to our friend Keith, who's always watching and listening.
Hey, Keith.
He says, go Team USA. Absolutely, absolutely. That was Power to the People. Which was a very popular phrase, Jake, during the 60s and 70s. And it really indicated, and it was a call forward for the need for individuals to take control of their lives, to get back on the court rather than waiting for the government or waiting for our institutions. And I do think one of the silver linings of what's taken place over the last 12 months up until this moment today is that people are on the court.
Oh,
people
yeah.
have been awakened. And I believe that inside of the context of win-win, when more people shift to a mindset of everybody wins, that energetically a shift will happen in the universe where we actually start to pay attention to our similarities and our common goals versus our differences. So I want to share a quick story about win-win or win-lose for that matter, right? So I'm going to give you the opposite of win. Client, I have a client from the past. He's in the hospitality business. They have restaurants. And inside of the restaurants, they also have, you know, they have food, they have a bar, and they also have a retail element to their restaurant where they sell T-shirts and apparel, things of that nature, okay? And the senior VP of operations decided to do an experiment, which is he was going to go to 10 of his... And what he decided to do was, for 10 straight weeks, he would put a fork in the middle of the floor, okay?
Okay.
And he put it on the floor in an area that was sort of like no person's land. It was far enough and close enough to the waiters and waitresses. It was far enough and close enough to the bartenders. It was far enough and close enough to the people behind the retail counter. It was far enough and close enough behind the manager or the maitre d'. You get my drift?
Yeah.
Okay? He put the fork on the floor where it wasn't in anyone's job description to pick it up. How's that?
No one would rightfully notice it.
Exactly. So he did this for 10 consecutive Saturdays. How many times do you think anyone from the team picked up the fork? The fork, again, lying in no man's land.
Probably none.
And why do you say that?
Because, you know, we go about our lives really in our own little worlds, and if something's outside of it even a little bit, we won't do it, especially also, I think, of the bystander effect. You know, someone else is going to pick it up.
Someone else is going to do it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So you would be correct that out of the 10 weeks where he put the fork on the floor to see if anyone on his team would pick up that fork, where, again, they're all about customer service. They're all about image. They're all about, right? In all 10 instances, no one picked up the fork because, like you said, it's not my job.
Yeah.
It's somebody else's job. And that would be an example of win-lose because, in the end, when someone doesn't pick up that fork, that impacts the image of your restaurant in this case. It impacts the experience that somebody has. It impacts – someone could even physically fall for that matter, right?
Yeah.
There's an impact when we don't play a bigger game or get connected to the bigger game that we're playing. And again, I want to keep emphasizing the point. When you love the relationship more than yourself – guess what? You get included inside of that relationship. So we're in the second segment, Jake. And in the second segment, we talk about a say what article. Like say what article? Like say what? There's an article, right, that relates to our story. So I found a great article from Psychology Today from a gentleman named Ray Williams. And the title of the article is Why Do We Have an Obsession with Winning?
Very good title.
Very good, right? It fits our show.
It's perfect.
Really well, right? So researchers, so the article goes, I'm gonna read some of the excerpts from the article from Ray Williams from Psychology Today, Why Do We Have an Obsession with Winning? So he said, researchers evaluated photographs of athletes on the victory podium at the Olympics and studied post-competition audio interviews, and they found that bronze medal winners tended to be happier than silver medalists. Now, why do you think that's the case?
Well, I think of a few reasons. One, I mean, a bronze medalist may have just squeaked by. And I say that because you're on the Olympics, you're not squeaking by.
Right.
But there's a lot of pressure for people who are anticipated to get the gold and the silver that may not be there for someone who's getting the bronze.
Got it.
There may be a lot more gratefulness involved rather than anxiety or arrogance even.
So in the article, they give one explanation to ride your coattails on what you're just sharing. So most of us think that the only way to be remembered is to win, right? To have a long-lasting legacy, you have to be the winner, and there has to be a loser. So I want to again, I'm going to go back to the Olympics. There was in the I think it was the 1992 Olympics with Carl Lewis and Daley Thompson.
I was I was 1 year old at that time.
Okay, so. Okay, got it. You're revealing your age.
I'm revealing my age.
Well, unlike Carl Lewis and Daley Thompson, Derek Redmond is not a name that conjures up memories of Olympic gold medals. But it's Derek Redmond, who actually defines the essence of human spirit and is most remembered from that Olympic. So he's going down the backstretch. He's only about 175 meters away. He's running the 400-meter race.
What a brutal race.
Okay. So he's about 175 meters from finishing the race. And Redmond, he's a shoo-in to actually make the finals, the article says, right? And suddenly he hears, for the athletes out there, you'll know and you'll cringe, he hears this pop in his right hamstring. Ugh. And he pulls up lame. as if he had just been and then in that moment that actually will live forever in the minds of millions of people who watched and who have read about this, Redmond lifts himself up and starts hobbling down the track. I'm getting goosebumps just even saying this, right? His father races out of the stands to help his son cross the finish line to the applause, standing ovation of 65,000 people. Now, what I also understand is that the guards wouldn't let his father onto the track initially.
Yeah, they didn't want to let him onto the track initially, and he pushed past them to get to his son. It's an amazing video and footage.
Yeah, so Redmond did not win the gold medal, as you can imagine, right? Hobbling along with his father helping him. But what he did do, he won the hearts of people that day and to this moment. And they don't mention the medal winners. What did people lose in the context of win-win, right? Redmond doesn't actually finish. I mean, he finishes the race, but he doesn't finish as the gold medal, silver, or bronze medal winner. Yet 20, 25 years later, we're talking about Derek Redmond versus Carl Lewis. What do we learn? What's the takeaway from him?
I mean, I think there's so much. And I ran track for 8 years, so I actually have a little bit of perspective on this, and I just thought of it now. I think a lot of times track is considered and looked at as a win-lose sport.
Okay.
But in my experience, it's really not. And what Redmond shows is the heart of track and field, which is it's not about the other runners, and it's not about even the place. It's about finishing. It's about getting to the finish line no matter how you get there, no matter how fast or how slow.
Yes.
Because, I mean, that's what track is. Track is a journey. And, I mean, it's a perfect metaphor for life. It's, I mean, it has everything. And a 400 is the perfect race.
Yes.
It has everything.
So the article, we're talking about the article from Ray Williams. It's called On an American Obsession. So in the article, he says that he argues, Duena, Francisco Duena, the author, argues that winning is also about being right.
Yes.
Victors are given the credence and respect to voice their views on the right way to reach their outcomes. In contrast, losers agonize and ruminate about their mistakes. In extreme forms, Duena goes on to say, losers even question their identity and character. Interestingly enough, spectators who identify with the winners and losers can feel even more righteous, and this sometimes is taken to extremes. How do you think this is coming up in our politics even?
Oh, I mean, where to even begin with that? It's, I think all our, like I said earlier, all of our politics is about being right and someone being wrong.
Yes.
And it's all about having the answer when no one has the answer. There is no answer, especially when we're all trying to prove that we're right.
Yeah, and I think it would be interesting that if we spent our collective energies and thinking around the topics that impact all of Americans, in fact, all humans on this earth, right? The main topics are environment, education, economic equality, taking care of our veterans, business. How do we do better in business? Right. These are all topics that are important to all of us. Right. Imagine if we spend our time and our energy talking about that rather than you're right and I'm wrong. Because at the end of the day, human beings, one of the things I have found in coaching individuals, you get taken care of inside of that as well. Another part of the article, and I'll end here. We'll take a break. He also talks about Alfie Cohen, who's also author of No Contest, The Case Against Competition. And Alan Cohen argues that the most disturbing feature of competition to win is how it negatively affects our relationships. Competition in schools, sports, the workplace and business, in our families, and obviously in our country or even with other countries, can be the thing that divides and disrupts and turns to negativity. The winning. What he's saying is, while we like to preach that competition brings people closer together, it is rarely the winning that does that. It is more often the personal journey, the shared experience, and compassion for failure that is stronger. What do you think about that?
I think it's spot on. You know, and what I think of right now is that winning is just a point. Winning lasts for a moment, a second, and then it's over. But the journey to get there and the experiences that create that final experience, those last a lot longer than just the impact of winning.
Yes.
And when we live in a society that is obsessed with winning and obsessed with instant gratification, it's all about that moment. But the moment is just a moment.
Yes.
And the journey is far longer.
Yeah, and I want to lay down some what I think might be drop a mic moment.
Oh boy.
Is that how about we get competitive?
Mm-hmm.
And being competitive, coming together and being competitive at being the best at business, being the best at politics, being the best at education, being the best at innovation, being the best at taking care of our environment, being the best at taking care of our veterans, being the best at taking care of our kids, being the best at taking care of race equality and economic equality. What if we got competitive about that as a human race collectively? Mm. Imagine what would be possible when we all come together to be competitive around that. This context of win-win is not about doing away with competition. I love competition. I'm like one of the most competitive people in the world. I look at my podcast stats every single day, several times. Turner, and
I'd like to build the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honeybees and snow white turtle doves. I'd like to teach the world to sing, sing with in me. Perfect harmony. I'd like to hold it in my arms and keep it company.
All right, you're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption, disrupting your automatics. Keep checking the dudes out on social media throughout the week. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter, Dudes of Disruption. I'm Coach Nick. Again, the question of the show is, where in your life are you playing a game of win-lose or even lose-lose, and what's the cost? The disruption today is playing a game of win-win. And that was from the New Seekers. I'd like to teach the world to sing. That was the song we just played from the break. It was written for the Coca-Cola commercial. It was considered one of the most effective ads of all time. It's been recreated again several times. It had featured a group of children from various countries, various cultures, singing together on a hilltop. Very, very symbolic, and I think aligned with our show topic.
Very much so.
We have Kerry Canova-Turner, Coach Kerry.
Hello, how are you, Nick?
She's back.
Hey, Kerry.
She's back.
Hey.
Kerry, you want to give us a one-liner on who you be?
Sure. I teach women through writing and coaching to utilize their feminine energy to heal and empower every facet of their life.
Awesome. Kerry, you are always a treat to have on the show. I know you've been watching and listening. What are your thoughts so far about our conversation?
I love it. Win-win is one of my favorite distinctions, and I think it's just so great. Just the fact that we're having this conversation is energy in the right direction of what we're looking to create in our world and in our country.
What kind of leader does it require, Kerry, because you mentioned our country, what kind of leader does it require in order to create a win-win environment or a win-win culture to flourish? And you could apply this to politics. You could apply this to your business. You could apply this to your family. You know, you as a partner inside of a family, or you even as a parent in a family.
Absolutely. So, a bunch of different things. Integrity. I think being a big picture thinker, like really asking, being able to be an inquiry around what's at stake.
Right.
Creating good boundaries, and most of all, I really believe it's good communication, which would be generous listening and listening to really hear and understand the other person and not listening to respond, which is kind of the automatic of how many of us listen.
Yeah, I love that. I do think that when people listen generously, it creates a safe place for people. People then feel open and willing to share whatever needs to be shared about that particular topic. You know, I was with a friend recently at lunch who is a supporter of the president, and I just asked the question. I said, "Tell me what you like about the president. Why did you vote for him? What do you like about him? What do you continue to support?" And I said, "I promise I won't say anything. In fact, I'm going to talk with you as if I'm meeting you for the first time. I'm going to listen to you from a place of, you know, clean sheet of paper, right? No background noise. I just really want to hear." And it was interesting that when I was listening to him share about the president and his views and what he likes about him, I started to think to myself, geez, we actually have a lot more in common. Mm. You know, that we actually have a lot more that we want, you know, collectively. So it was kind of fascinating to have that experience by just listening generously.
Yeah, and just being exactly and being open and not needing to comment, not having inner chatter going on in your own head, but really creating that safe space to listen. And that's really the basis of where a win-win conversation would even come from, is being able to share your deepest feelings and thoughts on whatever subject that you're looking to create a win-win on.
Yeah, so let me ask you, so I mentioned the president, for example. What do you tell people who say, well, Nick, this, Carrie, Jake, this sounds like a really great concept of win-win, right? So, it sounds kind of woo-woo, sounds kind of hippy-dippy, sounds kind of altruistic, right? Everybody gets to win, right? I read Webster's definition of win-win, where everyone gains an advantage because, you know, inside of a win-win mindset, right? What do you say to people who will say, but in real life, there's only one president. There's not two presidents or you know, 300 million presidents, right? There's one CEO of a company. Mm. There's one team who wins the Super Bowl. There's one team who wins the World Series, right? There's one person who gets that job that I was just interviewing for, right? What do you tell that person inside of that?
I think that to remember that win-win is really, it's not something you could hold in your hand. It's an energy that we're looking to create. It's a bigger picture type of thinking. And while it is true that, you know, only one person can win the presidency, like we just saw, there's another way of looking at it, as far as you could choose to look for the gifts in the so-called loss. Is it really a loss if there are, or maybe a person didn't get the job or win the election, but if a certain amount of maturity is present in the person looking at the situation, you could still look and experience yourself as a winner. I mean, one of the things that we're seeing right now, I heard you say it before, is that people are waking up.
Right.
I mean, mm-hmm. that's a win right there.
Yes.
And using their voices, and I'm seeing a huge rise in feminine energy. So that is really what I would say to them, to it's not black and white. Like, how could we look at, it's always about the story that we tell ourselves. So how could we tell a story around win-win to help create that energy, which is the way that we're going to have more of that in the world.
Yes. Jake, you were sharing a story earlier when you were running. You were a runner in college, right?
Yes, I was.
That relates to this question about, does win-win decrease competition? Does it increase competition? What's its relationship to competition?
I mean, I think win-win exists within competition. I know when I ran track, it was immensely personal. It was all an individual race. And I think we get caught up in the gold medals and the Olympics and seeing that there has to be a winner. But in track, I was only a winner if I beat my time from the previous week.
Right.
I wasn't competing against my friend Carlo in the lane next to me.
Right.
We were running together and having energy off of each other, and he was better than I was.
Right.
And I wanted to be as good as he was. I would love to have beat him.
Right.
But it wasn't from, I want to win, but if I can run as good as Carlo, I actually am better for myself.
Got it.
I get to have my own achievements. And really, I think that's within win-win, we get to redefine what winning means.
Yes.
There will always be one winner, but we get to redefine how we put emphasis or significance that I don't have to win the gold medal to be the winner.
Right. What I'm hearing from the both of you is that as we, if we're up for a game call, let's redefine winning, that winning is learning.
Yeah.
Right? That while you're in the, let's call it the competition is really yourself, meaning, are you improving? Are you learning? Are you leveraging lessons being learned? Are you leveraging experiences that you're having? Are you able to connect those experiences and share them with other people and be in contribution to them and be a leader because, hey, I just experienced something. I just learned something. Let me go tell the world about it, either on radio or write a blog or share it in a group in front of a group of people, right? I mean, what I'm hearing you say is that the competition is within ourselves.
Oh yeah,
where we get to learn and the lessons and the experience itself.
Absolutely, and I think one of the paramount reasons for me, you know, having my own definition around winning, is when we are coming from like a win-lose mentality, we're creating victims.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's very disempowering, and I think that that is why it's just so important to be able to have a definition of winning that makes you feel good, that is expanding what you're capable of and how you can contribute.
Yeah, Kerry, you just reminded me, we in our Say What section, which is segment two, we had an article from Ray Williams from Psychology Today, and one of the authors that he cited in his article was Alfie Cohen. And Alfie Cohen, he wrote a book called No Contest, The Case Against Competition, where he argues about cooperation, collaboration, which does not focus on winners and losers. And he says that that has had a more fundamental reflection on human activity throughout time in all kinds of cultures throughout the world. What he also says is that Cohen has a study that was done in his book by Spencer Kagan and Millard Madsen. It was 122 separate studies. And what they found was that, just looking at my notes here, what they found was that they reported that personal challenge meant more to them than achievement through competition. I think this is what we're talking about.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Do you have an example? I know you work with a lot of folks, Kerry, and obviously you have yourself as well, who's on a personal journey like we all are. Do you have an example of win-win in your life, or a great example of a client who's created win-win either in their business, in politics, in their community, at home, with their families? Do you have an example of that?
Well, I see a lot, yes. I think with our families, I mean, obviously, I'm also in the corporate world, and I've been in sales for over 20 years, and that's all relationship-based, too. And how do you create a win-win where it's not like you just give somebody a price and you win because you booked the order.
Right.
But, again, thinking about what their needs are, et cetera. But I think at home, even as a parent,
right,
wanted to eat ice cream for breakfast or
right,
something like that. You know, there's different ways to create win-wins by, again, the open communication. And I know I'm not getting to an exact thing here because I'm just...
Well, I think
we have about a million of them, but I can't think of one right this second.
That's okay, because actually, you lay down some wisdom, which is, it's the little things. Actually, I mean, we can talk about these grandiose things, like, hey, you know, the DNC and the GOP coming together, or, you know, I gave the example of the U.S. Olympic team, or I gave the example of my client with his 10 locations, and those are big instances and these small moments. And I think what you remind me that I want to share with the Global Tribe of Disruptors is that win-win is a mindset, it's a context, it's a way of being, it's an approach.
Absolutely, it's a mindset. I always say it's a heart set too, that it's, you're seeking to have mutually beneficial agreements and solutions, and it's based on abundance mentality. I don't know if we've talked about that really yet.
Okay.
It's really win-win is that there is more than enough pieces of the pie to go around for everybody.
Ooh, I love that.
So it's really win-lose is about scarcity and not enough, which we hear about that all the time. We're all live in a society plagued with we're not enough, it's not enough.
Right.
But really, a win-win is like the biggest buffet table you've ever seen in your life with every food you could ever imagine on it. Like, that's like the type of energy. It's more than enough.
I love that.
I think it's so important to teach. Like, start within our families. Like you said, it's those small moments.
Yeah, going back to a comment I made in the first segment, I said the kind of leader that creates a win-win environment is one that trusts and then creates trust around them, that, and to your point, that there is enough, right? That, you know, Pat Riley in the book Winner Within told his team, during the 1980s, his team won multiple championships. And he said the moment that they started winning championships is when he was able to get his players to trust that if they sacrificed for the team, if they were willing to change their roles, if they were willing to shoot less and pass the ball more, if they were willing to focus on team versus me, that they would, A, win more championships, which was the bigger game they were playing, and inside of that, they would be taken care of with bigger and longer contracts, more lucrative contracts, more advertisements. Mm-hmm. They would be discussed on a show like ours 30 years later. We have an online comment that I think really adds to the our conversation. One of our men's group and Laura winning keep you from embracing the process and all the rewards that are to be found there. Kerry, will you hold on and do parting shots with us, or do you need to hop off?
I will be happy to hold on. Thank you.
Okay, great. Global Tribe, when we come back in the final segment, we'll be doing parting shots. Again, the question for you is, where in your life are you playing win-lose, and what is the cost? Turn the world around. That was Harry Belafonte, Turn the World Around. You're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption, disrupting your automatics. Today's show, win-win. How do you define win-win? We're looking to disrupt that definition. Your phone calls, we still got a few minutes here. 212-650-6903. Keep sending in your online comments. That was Harry Belafonte, as I said, Jake and Kerry. Apparently, in an interview, he said that that came from an African mythology and began to tell the story, where the mythology began to tell the story about the fire, the sun, the water, and the earth. He pointed out, Harry did, that all of these things put together turns the world around, that all of us are here for a very, very short time. And in that time that we're here, there really isn't much of a difference in any of us. If we actually take the time, like I was describing earlier when I asked a friend of mine who has an opposing political view, if we take the time to understand and ask and really get to know each other, something different is possible. The question is, and he says this in a song, do I know who you are or who I am? Do we care about each other? Because if we do, together we can turn the world around. That would be a win-win context. As I mentioned, the Dudes of Disruption have a podcast that drops every Monday on Podomatic and on iTunes. It's Dudes of Disruption. Just find us. We're up to, I think this is episode 90, like 90.
My God.
We have our live show, like you're watching right now, every Sunday from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. on WHCR, WHCR.org, The Voice of Harlem. You're also on my Facebook page. Thanks for everybody for watching and listening. We have our parting shots. I was going to say potting. We have our parting shots. Kerry, would you like to kick us off?
Sure. So, with us talking about win-win being a mindset and a heart set, and really about life becoming not just about ourselves but something mutually beneficial for other people, I just thought I'd share a quick Maya Angelou quote, which is, I've learned that people will forget what people have said. I've learned that people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did, but they will never forget how you made them feel.
Mm. Awesome. I love that. It's the experience that you create. And win-win, we keep saying, is a context. And part of that context is the experience that you're creating for you and those around you.
Yes,
because
for sure.
Because from context, your mindset, you then will choose to do and will choose to take certain actions. And that those actions and decisions do create an experience. So I love that quote from Maya Angelou that you just read to us. Mr. Jake, what are your parting shots, sir?
Well, I think my mind is swirling, but I'm going to go back to track because I think for me it is where I had my most win-wins. And I want to go back to the 4x1 relay. In my final year at college, we were breaking records left and right in that relay.
Right.
And what I loved about the relay was that each of us, each of the four guys on the team, were wildly different. But we all had to work individually to perfect our own form, our own speed, our own work.
Yes.
In order to work together to win and set records.
Yes.
And so it was about, you know, I had to work on myself in order to be there for the team.
Right.
because it was about the team.
Yes.
And I think that's a mentality we can all bring going forward, is how can we be the best for ourselves so that we can be the best in the world for the world, I should say. Because that's when we are the best for the world and for our teams, that's when we're going to make all the difference.
Oh, I love that. You hear that paradigm, Carrie? Be the best for the world rather than being the best in the world. Because when you're best for the world wins. And guess who's inside of that world?
We are.
All of us are. Everyone watching and listening, and those who are not watching and listening. Everybody. Everyone's included. Well, thank you, Jake. Thank you, Carrie, for being on the show. Let me share my parting shot.
I don't remember this.
So I'm excited to hear. So I do a balloon exercise. I've done it many, many times. I've probably done it over 100 times at corporations. And I'll give the Reader's Digest version because we're on radio and podcast here. But it's a great indication of win-win or win-lose for that matter. And I really want to obviously emphasize the win-win aspect of it. So it's a balloon exercise. It requires balloons. And what happens is I have a group of people and I'm brought into a company to help the team communicate, interact, relate, and be with each other differently, right? To cooperate and collaborate in a much more effective way. That's the purpose why I'm there. So I do this exercise that involves balloons. I break the team up into two. I say there's team A. This group of folks are team A. This group of folks are team B. I give them their balloons and I give them the instruction. And the instruction is the purpose of the game is to win. And the way to win the game is to build the highest freestanding tower of balloons. And I repeat that, right? The purpose of the game is to win. The way to win the game is to build the highest freestanding tower balloons. And I give them a few minutes, give them about 5 minutes to actually do the game, right? So let me ask you, too, what do you think happens inevitably? I've done this exercise, like I said, well over 100 times. What do you think generally happens in that moment where I say, ready, set, go?
Well, each team tries to build the biggest freestanding tower they individually can.
Separately, right?
Separately, of course.
Right. Kay, would you guess the same thing?
Probably fighting over the balloons to get the balloons for their tower.
Yeah, they're fighting over the balloons. In fact, I've had teams where one team will go over to the other team and pop the other team's balloons. I've had instances where the other team members will go and steal balloons from the other team, right? They'll come over and start blowing on the tower of balloons so it falls, right?
Oh, my goodness.
Now, meanwhile, these are people who all work together. And so when the exercise is over, I point out that exercise was a metaphor for how they show up. Instead of thinking of Team A and Team B as two separate teams, because really Team A and Team B are just a metaphor. Team A and Team B just represent the different roles that you have on a team. Team A and Team B just represent the different titles that you may have or that you work for different departments, sales and marketing, finance and operations, right? Maybe it's the same, different divisions. That's what Team A and Team B stand for. But yet, ultimately, you're all playing for the same team. You know, much like the U.S. Olympic hockey team was playing for one team, right? And so what I point out is that Team A and Team B, although you may be different roles or different titles or different departments, we have the same vision. Imagine what would be possible if we all just built one tower.
Mm.
And what usually happens, because it has happened where teams have come together at some point, is that they don't need the entire time. Because when people come together, they do things faster. They do things with more efficiency. They have more fun. They're laughing. They're leveraging off each other's strengths. They're listening to each other. Everyone feels gotten. Everyone feels like they're participating and engaged and making a difference. Something different is possible. What the world needs now more than ever is cooperation, not competition, to create innovation and breakthroughs for our most pressing and important problems or challenges or opportunities around economic equality, global warming, food reform, clean water for all, crime. I could go on and on. Imagine if we all built one tower. You've been listening to Coach Nick, Jake Fishbein, Carrie Canova-Turner, Dudes of Disruption Show. We're back next Sunday from 2 to 3. Podcast drops tomorrow on iTunes and Podomatic. And we end every show, as you guys know, with a Hall of Fame disruptor, Dr. Seuss. Don't cry because it's over. A big, huge, major smile because it just happened.